in dealing with some basic principles here. How many of you have heard that sin, or the devil, or evil, is the equal opposite polar of good, or God, and God, and righteousness? You know, that's a big lie. That, you know, when we think of opposites like salt and pepper and black and white and good and bad, you know, good and evil are not really opposites. There is no polar equality. Like between north and south, we have a polar equality, right? That directional idea has a polar equality to it. There's, you know, so south is equal to north, and north is equal to south, and they're polar opposites. This is not the way good and evil work. And let's explain. Amen. Good and evil, evil is nothing but good perverted. So therefore, good can exist without evil. But evil cannot exist without good. And you'll hear all of this bull come from many religions, and even in many forms of Christian thought, is that good and evil are polar opposites, and good and evil, there must be a balance. That's not true. That's all a lie. You've seen it on, you know, every kind of movie and TV show, they shove it down your throat where they deal with good and evil. They're not opposites, and they are not polarized, and they are not equal. They're not like positive and negative. But the point is, good can exist without evil, but evil cannot exist without good, because all evil is good gone bad. It's good corrupted, good perverted. Good is primal. Good is the very nature of God. Good corrupted is the nature of evil. Amen. Good is the nature of God, and evil is a perversion of that. Well, when we look at what happened with man and sin, this is what happened. Man was created good and went bad. Satan was created good and went bad. It's just like lies are nothing but the truth perverted. That's what a lie is. And we've got to start seeing things the way they really are. Well, in looking at Adam and Eve, when we look at how the soul was created, and this is important for us to understand. Some of you have heard all this before, but it's important you're going to see that when we start talking about the law and about grace, that you have to understand the difference between the legality and the actuality. And it has as its core these understandings. So God created man and woman, male and female created he them, as it says, and they were good. In other words, they were corruptible, but they were uncorrupted. Now, how do we know that they were corruptible? You're going to hear these stories, you know, from the faith movement and so many other religious ideas that Adam and Eve were beings of light, and they were like gods and all this kind of garbage. And the fact is, Adam and Eve, there was no difference whatsoever between Adam and Eve and you. None. The only difference between Adam and Eve and you is the fact that they were daily renewed by being in fellowship with God. They were daily renewed. It's just like a piece of fruit in the tree, and we've talked about this before. A tree bears fruit, right? And as long as that piece of fruit abides in the tree, it's renewed daily, isn't it? But what happens when the tree flings that fruit? What happens to that piece of fruit when it no longer abides in the tree? If somebody doesn't pick it up and eat it immediately, what happens? It begins to corrupt. It begins to rot. It starts from the inside, and that decay slowly works from the inside to the outside till that piece of fruit falls in on itself. Corruption. Well, when Adam and Eve were cut off from God, corruption set in. As long as they abode in God, they were renewed. But when they sinned, and God cannot dwell with sin, it was like the tree flinging its fruit. They were exactly the same as they were before, except now they were becoming corrupted. And that corruption started on the inside in their hearts and worked its way to the outside to manifest itself in death. And that's the way it works. Sin is a nature of corruption. It is good gone bad. Now, how many of you understand that and can see that for yourself? Can you really understand that and see that for yourself? Sin is a nature of corruption. Before it's an act, it's a nature. The acts we do according to a nature. Now, I'm going to read to you from Romans 5 a little bit, and we're going to trace this idea of sin. Now, the first thing we have to understand is, you know, the definition of what a soul is in order for Romans 5 for us to be able to see it clearly. It tells us in Genesis 2:7. That God created man from the dust of the ground, the physical part, the body, breathed into him the spirit of life, the spiritual part, the spirit, and man became a living soul. Now, you don't need any more of a definition of a soul than this. That's what a soul is. It is body and spirit together as one. That's what it is. The physical part and the spiritual part. You were meant to live in two realms, physical realm and spiritual realm. You see that? How many of you can see that? And so you needed both of these components. Now, we're going to talk about this order of the soul and what God meant by that. And we're going to do it through Adam and Eve. Adam is a picture of the spirit. He was to have headship. Now, it's true, and according to God's pattern, and it always has been, that we were meant to walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh, right? When we look at, for example, now, and this is something every Christian is familiar with, even within the platitudes of Christian teaching, we realize that everyone understands that we are the body of Christ as the church, and Jesus is the head. We walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, right? We're the body, we're the flesh, and we're compared to the woman. Jesus is compared to the man, he's the head. And so we see that there's a natural understanding here that goes throughout Scripture, that the headship of the man is a picture of the headship of the Spirit, and the submission of the body is a picture of the submission of the woman. It's the same thing, isn't it? The woman is submitted to the man in the same way the body should be in submission to the Spirit. This is the natural order. This is the way it was meant to be. This is, so when we look, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and this is in Genesis as well. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall cleave together and become one flesh. We see again two becoming one. Just as body and spirit became a living soul, we see man and woman become a single union, one flesh, two becoming one. Man is a picture of the spirit, woman is a picture of the body, and that's the way it was supposed to be, right? So do you see that there is a natural picture of the soul in that union of man and woman together? So this gives us a heads up on the union, that it is just like marriage, that union is a covenant. It's a covenant of agreement. Now, this is where we differ from works of the flesh and forcing people to live a certain way. A woman has to enter into agreement to be a man's wife, doesn't she? She has to enter into that agreement to in sickness and in health. And in, you know, and in submission and obedience. It's an agreement. It's a union so that they can bear fruit. Right? Just like the ground is submitted to planting, a man must plant a seed in a woman. Let's not get weird, but let's talk about that. Doesn't the woman have to submit herself to the man for that to happen? The body has to submit itself to the spirit in order to produce fruit. The woman has to submit herself to the man in order to produce fruit. And the union is designed to produce fruit. But what happened in the garden? What do we see in Adam and Eve, who picture both body and spirit here? Well, we see that the devil, when he came to reiterate that union, that agreement. How can two walk together unless they agree, right? He didn't go to Adam, who had headship. Just like the devil doesn't come to your spirit. The devil has not changed his M.O. in all of these years. It's exactly the same. He always comes through the flesh. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. He has a lot to offer your flesh. Nothing to offer your spirit. But you see, Adam wouldn't have listened to a strange snake, but he would listen to his wife, whom he was intimate with. Just like your spirit won't listen to Satan, but it will listen to your own body, won't it? Because it's intimate with your body. They're one. They're in agreement. They're in union. Adam and Eve were in union. So when the devil went to Eve, it's Eve who went to Adam. When the devil comes to your flesh, it's the desires of your flesh. And as we're told in James, a man is dragged away into sin by his own desires. Adam's desire was to please his wife. And our desire is to please our flesh. And Adam chose to please his wife rather than God. Well, here's where we talk about the power to choose. When you give away your power to choose, when you give away your headship, you just can't take it back. We see that over and over. People have given themselves to drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things. And it's hard. It's a battle to take it back once you've given it over, huh? And so what happens? The spirit finds itself in bondage to the flesh's desires, to please the flesh. Can y'all see this? Just like Adam found himself in bondage to please Eve. And now, so this gives the flesh a headship that it wasn't meant to have. And this is the perversion of the soul. So that perverted soul, where spirit is in bondage to the flesh's desires, that's a perversion of what God intended, isn't it? A perversion. It's good gone bad. That's what evil is. Good gone bad. You see how understanding what a soul is helps you understand this. The nature of man, the sin nature, is the soul of Adam. Because the soul of Adam became corrupted. The spirit in bondage to the body's desires. This is very much a clarity as to what happened in the garden and what's happening in us. So sin is a nature of corruption. Now the first thing about a nature is you can't change it. Can you make your own nature righteous? Can you change your nature? No. You can change your actions, but that doesn't change your nature. Now, this brings us to the point. See, because man was cut off from God in the moment he sinned, and we have to talk about these two points. Man was cut off from God. See, God is spirit, and to commune with God, it has to be in the order, where the flesh has a relationship to God through the spirit, where the woman had a relationship with God through the man. You know, there's a priority here. There's a propriety. There's a headship. There's a chain of command, so to speak. Now, let me ask you a question. Would God do an end run around Adam to go to Eve? Or does God always work through the authority system that he has established? I want you to think about it. Would God do an end run around Adam to go to Eve? In other words, God who is spirit, would he do an end run around your spirit to go to your flesh? No, that's what Satan did. That's not what God does. God has a system of authority that he established, a pattern. Right. God works through authority and what he has established. He would not pervert his own system. But yet that's what many people would have you believe. Is that God would do an end run around the man and go to the woman. God would do an end run around the spirit and go to the flesh. So when Adam was cut off from God by choosing the flesh over God, he was cut off from God right in that moment, wasn't he, spiritually? No more communion. And therefore there's no more communion with the flesh through Adam to God because it's cut off. Well, it's the same way with that piece of fruit in the tree. There's no more information exchanged, is there? There's nourishing sap and all kinds of, you know, biological information that's exchanged between the tree and the fruit, as long as the fruit abides in the tree. But when the fruit is flung from the tree and begins to corrupt, there's no more information, is there? And this is where the ignorance of sin comes in. This is against another great lie. The answer is not in yourself by nature. There are no answers in you apart from, unless Christ is in you. That's why Jesus came from above, because those below have no answers. There's no exchange of information between God and those below because of sin. It's only through Christ that the information can come, the revelation. There's no more of a conduit when the fruit is cast from the tree for the information to come, or the life to come, or the renewal to come. So you can see, I'm just avoiding problems ahead of time. So you can see, boy, I made a good call on that, didn't I? All right. So the basic idea that we need to see here is that man was cut off from God according to the Spirit, and therefore there was no more communion with God. He couldn't commune with God. And the ignorance of sin sets in through that. And also, there's no more of a flow of the conduit of life. Men begin to corrupt. And corruption started in the heart, and is manifested in the body to bring forth death. We see that the renewal process through Jesus works exactly in the same way. The renewal starts in the spirit and is manifested in the flesh eventually through the resurrection of the dead. It starts in the spirit and is manifested to the flesh. Righteousness must start in the heart, in the same place sin started. A renewal must be from the inside, working forth to the outside. A little leaven, whether good or bad, a little leaven works through the whole lump. And we see that Jesus brings that restoring. First, the spirit he restores, reconciles us to God where we were cut off, and after that reconciliation comes redemption. All right. Another point is, God told Adam in the day that he ate of that fruit, he would certainly die. Well, the moment he did, he was cut off from God. And that was manifested immediately in the spirit. But remember what Peter says, a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. Adam did indeed die within the day he sinned against God. As you know, it took nearly that full 1,000 years, Adam lived 930 years, for sin to be manifested into his body to bring forth death. But he died within that day, 70 years short of a full day. 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years to God. And so we can see that both spiritually and physically, Adam died within the day he sinned. Well, these are all important understandings. As we go on, now we need to go to Romans chapter 5 and pick up from there, and we'll see how the ignorance of man, Adam knew what it was like to walk with God, but his children didn't, and his children's children didn't, and his children's children's children didn't. In general, we're not talking about what Abel found out through the sacrifice and what Noah found out through the sacrifice, the revelation of faith. We're talking about what man is by nature before they receive that revelation. What all of us are. By nature, we're corrupt. Because we're made in the image of the soul of Adam. Adam had all of his children after he sinned. Whether it be Cain, Abel, or Seth, or any of the daughters, he had all of his children after he sinned. So all men that are born of Adam are born into sin as a nature of corruption. And that's one of the first things you've got to understand. And therefore, men in general are ignorant. Apart from a revelation of God through Jesus Christ, men are ignorant. All have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. So when we look in, I want to go to Romans chapter 5, and where we start speaking on this in verse 12. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Just a repetition of what I've just told you, right? Before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Now, Adam sinned according to a command. Let's deal with that first. Adam sinned according to a command. You shall not eat of the tree. You shall not eat of that tree. Well, we need to talk about here what happened there with those two trees. And this is hard for people now. The fact is, they never seen two trees. There were two trees in the midst of the garden, but they only seen the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And let's prove that. Let's prove that from Genesis. We got to understand what the meaning of these two trees are. We've got to go this, you know, very slowly and very simply so that we don't get confused. But we're talking about how death has come to all men. So we've got to understand what these two trees are and how it is that Adam sinned by breaking a command. Because it's going to come into play the fact that where there is no law, there is no sin. What does that mean? This is how we understand. All right. In chapter 2, it tells us in verse 8 of Genesis, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he put a man he had formed, and the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know those two trees were there in the middle of the garden. But I want you to notice something. In verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now later on, when Satan goes to talk to Eve, he said to her, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. She acknowledged there's a lot of trees, right? But God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Wait, the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Notice she didn't call it the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, did she? She didn't call it the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She didn't specify. She said the tree that's in the midst of the garden. The tree. But we know that there were two trees in the midst of the garden, don't we? In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when Satan said, did God say you really must not eat of any of the trees in the garden? She says, answered, we can eat of any of the trees of the garden, but God said you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Wow. How many trees did she see in the middle of the garden? And there's a point here. Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil is the law. And the tree of life is Jesus on the cross. That's what they represent. And the only way that you can see the tree of the Spirit is to die to the flesh. And through the law, we die. Isn't that true? Isn't it the law that identifies what sin is in us? I want to read you two things here. We have to jump ahead to Romans chapter 7 for a little bit. But I wanted to read you this. I want you to keep in mind what happened right here with Adam and Eve. I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to Romans 7. And you're going to see the point. They knew sin by eating of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. We know sin through the law. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. She gave also to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now, think of this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, pleasing to the eye, the lust of the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, the pride of life, she took some and ate it. Can you see the three components of sin? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And that all happened through the tree. Well, let's go to Romans 7 real quick. I want you to keep in mind everything that happened here, and we're going to read something about sin, and you're going to see an equation with that serpent and sin. An equation between that serpent and sin. Romans chapter 7. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. Well, let's look at that. Was the tree of knowledge of good and evil... Ooh, that's what the law is, isn't it? Knowledge of what is good and what is evil. Is the law sin? Certainly not. Is that tree sin? Was the tree of knowledge of good and evil sin? Certainly not. It was the knowledge of good and evil. What is the law? The knowledge of good and evil. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. Could Adam and Eve say the same thing? I would not have known what sin was except through the tree. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Isn't that what Satan did? Didn't Satan seize an opportunity by the one commandment Adam and Eve were given? Do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Isn't that what just like sin, now listen to it, sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. Isn't that exactly what happened with Eve? The devil had an opportunity by the commandment of do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it produced in Eve every kind of covetous desire. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. True or not true? For once, apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Ooh, isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? Once they were alive apart from the law, apart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and they died. True or not true? For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. The devil deceived Eve, huh? And through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy and commandment is holy and righteous and good. Well, then the tree of knowledge of good and evil is holy and righteous and good too. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good. So that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Now let's talk about this with Adam and Eve for a second. Let's talk about this. There was only one commandment. Do not eat of the tree. But there's all kinds of things that they could have been doing before they ate of that tree that you and I would consider sin today, huh? But you see, where there was no law, there was no sin. It took a commandment and breaking it to identify sin in you through what you did. Let me say that again. It took a commandment and you breaking it. Sin sees as an opportunity afforded by the commandment. In the same way, the serpent sees an opportunity afforded by the one commandment Adam and Eve have. Now think of it. How perfect could Adam and Eve have been? They had one commandment. And they didn't have that long before they broke it. One. Adam and Eve were made uncorrupted, but they were corruptible. They were made just like you and I. Now, there's a lot of things that we would do, but we don't consider sin. It takes the law to convict us that it is sin. Right? Without the law, we would not know what sin is. Isn't that what it just told us in Romans 7? So you've got to understand there's a difference between the commandment, the legality, and the actuality. So let's talk about the commandment, the legality, and the actuality. The actuality is about the spirit. Sin is a nature of corruption. The legality is sin is described as a transgression. The law was given to convict us of sin. And that's why when there was no commandment, there was no sin. In other words, sin was there. It was in you and killing you. Listen to what it says, Romans 5. It was in you and killing you. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Sin is not taken into account where there is no law to describe to you what sin is. Ooh. Sin was in the world before the law was given. Think of it. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Now, this is an important point here. You're going to understand how Satan has the power of death. To the fear of death to keep people in bondage. See, can we say that because the serpent is a figure for sin and Satan? It's a figure for both. Because the author of sin is Satan, isn't he? The father of lies. You've got to see this. This is so important.